my office received a letter, and it came from the county magistrate court. This would have been of Catoosa County. We were being informed that we were required to respond to a notice. We were being sued. We did not know exactly why that was the case, so we began to do a little bit of digging into it to try to figure it out, and come to find out there was a woman who had brought a carpet cleaner, a shampoo system, into our shop, and she just brought it in for just general maintenance, have some service done on it. So we had done the work and released it to her. And as we investigated more, we learned that her complaint that she had was because she said that we had returned the machine back to her with the wrong solution. That's an upper tank. The wrong solution tank on the machine. And she was suing us for $400 and something over a solution tank. What she did not know is the Hoover Company, when they manufactured that model, it was a six-brush system, she didn't realize the fact they only put one type of tank on all of those machines worldwide, one type of tank. Her complaint was that it was a different color when she picked it up than it was when she dropped it off, to which we did not deny. It was a different color when she picked it up than what it was when she dropped it off, because it was so filthy when she dropped it off, and after we cleaned it, it was a different color. We involved the Hoover representatives with it and brought them in, and they testified to the fact that this was the correct tank for it, and they did it, of course, by letter. And the woman ended up losing the case. We won, ended up having to pay us $400 and something instead. The point being this and this alone, now listen closely, we were doing nothing wrong. We were minding our own business, but all of a sudden court came calling to us. We didn't want to have anything to do with it. We've been in this series that we've titled Tough Topics for Today's Church. And we have been focusing and trying to zero in on things that you do not hear preached anymore in the average church, Baptist church, or any church. And we've been trying to study some things that the average believer today just doesn't know anything about because they've not heard them preached. We'll look at another one tonight. It's going to be very uncomfortable for us to look at, probably more for me even then for you. And when we come to this matter of going to court or to law, have you ever been done wrong in some way in your life, maybe in your business or whatever, and to get justice in it, you are going to have to go to court to be able to do it? Have you ever done somebody else maybe wrong, and then them to try to get justice, they are going to take you to court? When is it lawful for a Christian, a believer, a child of God, a saved person to go to law, to go to court? The Bible actually has a lot to say about this, and it's something that you don't hear much about anymore, and that is what makes it a bit of a tough topic. Now, when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, Paul is here writing to the believers at the church at Corinth. And as he is doing so, what makes this passage one that we have returned to now for the third time in our Tough Topic series is because he is dealing with various scandals. Tough topics, I'm calling them, that were going on in the Corinthian church. And when we come to these verses, the first seven or so verses of this chapter, we are finding the Apostle Paul dealing with this very matter of believers going to court. Christian people going to law. And the Apostle Paul has something to say about it, and you and I need to listen and learn from it. So when we talk about this tough topic, that of which I'm calling when court comes calling, there are three things, three truths that I want you to get in your heart. Now think about it with me, and let's learn from the Word of God as we are building toward one climactic truth we'll study in a moment. But first of all, write it down. There is the perils, P-E-R-I-L-S, the perils of litigation. Now, litigation, it simply means the process of taking legal action. Now, rarely is litigation something that is a good thing, and I think we would all agree with that. But whether you desire it, whether you pursue it, or whether you don't, be it not a good thing, sometimes, listen to me, church, it is a necessary thing. And we learn that, first of all, because we are living in a sue-happy world. Amen. We're living in a Sue happy world. Go back to verse number 1. The Bible says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust. Now, over and over in these first 7 verses, you're going to find that word law that is used. It is pointing to the court system in their day. Of course, the Greek court system, but also that of the Roman Empire. And the fact of the matter is, Paul the apostle was also living in a Sue happy world. I'm only mentioning this for the sake of laying the foundation of what we're doing. But as you have looked through the centuries of time, you've seen this matter of litigation. You've seen how it has evolved. There was a time when two guys had a dispute against one another. They would go out into the street, beat the devil out of one another, and then the other one would just simply reach down, help the other guy up, shake hands, go about their business. Life was just fine. But in recent years, maybe the past 50 or so years in the United States, did you know that the U.S. court system has been overrun? It has been expanded time and time and time again, in many cases with frivolous lawsuits that people are bringing against other people. And I believe one of the reasons for that is because of the moral decline of our nation today. People see that the only answer to deal with this disputes is to go out and sue them. And they feel like if they don't go and sue them and deal with this now and get the court on their side of it, it's just going to open up further lawsuit opportunities for them on the same matter in the future. Do you know what people will sue people over? I mean, absolutely anything anymore. Loud music in the neighborhood, you'll get a lawsuit over that. The neighbor's dog coming and using your yard as their bathroom, you'll get a lawsuit over that. Did you remember the hot coffee one at McDonald's? You'll get a lawsuit over hot coffee. What kind of lunatic does not realize that the coffee is supposed to be hot? You'll get a lawsuit over 6 inches of a dispute in a property line. While I was writing this message, I got a notification on my telephone that said that somebody was suing another person because of a practical joke that they had played on them. Now, Paul, and certainly not I, because the Word of God is not saying that we should always go to court, because sometimes it is a necessary thing that we use the court systems. The bottom line is, we are simply living in a Sue happy world. And so therefore, Paul gives us here a staunch warning as well. He says in verse number 1, dare not any of you, he says. Don't any of you dare do this. Did you get that? That word dare in the Greek, it is actually torlemo, and the word is actually speaking and can be translated of bringing ourselves to something bold. Not always in a good way is what that is referring to. Now, again, I'm just quickly mentioning this here for foundational purposes, but what I want you to understand is Paul is saying, how dare you be so bold, and how dare you do such outrageous things as going to court, as going to law. He is warning about litigation. And while litigation is something that may need to be done from time to time, it is not always the right answer. It is not always the thing that we must do. Remember, rarely is litigation a good thing. But again, sometimes it is a necessary thing. So when it comes to approaching and living the Christian life, when is the believer, when is the child of God given the green light by God to sue somebody else or to get hung into the court systems of this world, the perils of litigation? But think with me about the practice now of evaluation. The perils of litigation, but the practice of evaluation. Now, every situation that we are ever faced with, be it concerning our family, maybe our jobs, our assets, even our ministries, literally everything. Now listen to me, we need to evaluate carefully. We need to be sure that we study it out and that we see every detail before we make any decisions to move forward, especially when it comes to this matter of law and litigation. Now, we as believers, so oftentimes we get ourselves in so much trouble because we just simply jump to judgment, do we not? Amen. I mean, we jump to conclusions on things and we make decisions based upon emotionally charged moments. without evaluating every detail and then backing it up and lining it up with the Word of God. Now, the same is true when it comes to this matter of litigation. And in this passage of Scripture, Paul is giving us some insight on when we can and when we cannot pursue any form of litigation. And the first thing that he tells us in this evaluation is that we must stop, and there must be a salvation status that we study. A salvation status of the people that are involved. If you look at verse number 5, the Bible says, judge between his brethren. Look at verse number 7. It speaks again about them going to law against one another, dealing with the brethren. Verse number 8, ye do wrong and defraud, and that's your, what? Brethren. Paul is laying it out, and he's frankly doing it so clearly right here. He is writing to the church at Corinth, the believers in the church in Corinth, and he is telling them that this matter of litigation is something that you can consider and you can do, but you are not to sue another Christian.
Amen.
One believer is not to go to law with another believer. You are not to get hung up in the court systems of this world if it is a saved person and a saved person that are going after one another. He does not say that Christians are not to use the court system, that we cannot go into any forms of litigation. He doesn't say that, because if the Christians weren't supposed to use any type of litigation, an unjust world out there would take advantage of it on every category, and they would take you and they would take you to the cleaners. And so God, he does not say that you cannot use the court system. He simply says that you as a believer, you cannot go and sue another believer. Now, 1 Corinthians 6, it is a passage that unsaved people will use all the time when they learn that there is a Christian that is about to go and sue them. And they will say, no, 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 you cannot go and sue me. You're a Christian, and if you do that, you will be in violation of the Word of God. I had an attorney on the opposite side of a case I was involved with one time actually attempt to do that, knowing that I was an unashamed Christian, said, you can't do this. If you don't stop this, you're going to be in violation of the Bible. I knew exactly why that he was saying that. He was saying, if you do this, you're going to be wrong. It was an act of intimidation, because a Christian, he was saying, cannot sue anybody. Listen to me and look at me now. The Bible says no such thing whatsoever. I am not saying that you always run to the courts. I am not saying that you go and that you sue somebody. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. Sometimes it is necessary, but what I am telling you emphatically, unequivocally, upon the authority of God's Word, is the Bible does not prohibit you from just suing somebody. That is a necessary thing. When somebody does you wrong to the degree that you have got to take action with them, I believe if it is as bad as it could be, go and sue the shoelaces off of them, if that's what you've got to do. God is saying, however, you've got to be cautious. You've got to be careful about going to court, going to law with a believer. However, don't miss this. However, we are bound by the Word of God not to do that. Now listen to me. In this process, you need to understand that if you go and intentionally sue another believer, somebody that you know is a saved person, you need to know that God will likely never bless it. God will never get glory out of it. Oh, you may win your property line dispute. You may be able to deal with that dog that's coming and using your yard as its bathroom. Look, I agree with both of them things. I don't want that, right? You may win this or that issue, but God will never pour out his blessings upon it. And we're going to see why in just a moment. Okay, now many of us, we may still have a few questions right now about this. Probably similar questions to what I have had through the years. But if you'll just stay tuned to the Word of God, I think the Scripture will answer some of those questions. You see, we must evaluate the salvation status. But anybody who has ever been in a situation like this before, you know that it is not always that cut and dry. You know that it is not always that easy. And that's why Paul tells us there must be a situational study. that comes with it. Look in verse number 4. He says, if then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life. Now you notice the word if that is given to us here, and it's actually giving the idea that, there could very well be deeper hidden details of the situation that may not be so clearly seen. And there must be a situational study when it comes to this matter of litigation. It's not just a matter of somebody saying, my goodness, Brother Daniel, you're a saved man. Brother John is a saved man. We're brothers, right? Sometimes that's easy to say. That takes it off of the table. It really does. But that's not always how easy it is. Sometimes things get a little bit muddy, don't they? Sometimes things get a little bit more confusing to that. Now, this is why this subject is so very broad. It's easy to get tangled up in a bunch of things, so I want to be real, real careful, real, real cautious about what I'm about to say. But just because somebody says they are saved, it does not necessarily mean that they are saved. And just because somebody that is caught up in the circle of these matters of litigation, just because they say that they are saved, just because they're caught up in the circle of it, it does not necessarily mean that you cannot pursue the litigation that you need to. You have to study these matters out. Now you've got to follow me. When somebody says that they're saved, and when you're faced with this form of litigation that could come your way, they're going to throw this in your face. So remember, part of the Tough Topics purpose is that we will be ready to give an answer to people when they come to us about these matters. And so when faced with litigation, they will pull out every stop that they can to make you drop the case, to intimidate you, to make you do this or make you do that. But you need to know, you've got to study the matter out. It's not always so cut and dry. I mentioned a moment ago, and most of you know, that prior to coming into the ministry, I was in business for 15 years. Now, don't misunderstand me. The three companies that I ran, they were not Fortune 500 companies. I don't even want to give that impression. But at the same time, God was extremely good to them. They were respectable businesses. And they were of a decent size. They employed 219 people through the life of the businesses, the 15 years. And I say that because when you've got that many people involved, you are opening yourself up to all kinds of issues. I mean, it was everywhere and it was all the time. Now, I can't go into detail, of course, on this, but I found myself in a situation one time where I was going to have to go to court. I was going to have to sue, and I was going to have to initiate it, sue somebody who says that he was a saved man. Here's the thing I want you to get. I don't doubt for one second that that was a saved man. I believe that he was a child of God. I believe that he grew up in a good home. He gave his life to the Lord many, many years ago. I believe that he was a saved man. Now, the proven offense, that of which he was guilty of, it was great, it was grievous, it was graphic as well. I mean, it was a very serious matter. It was something that had to be dealt with, and the truth of the matter is, I really struggled at whether I should pursue litigation with this guy, taking him to court, because I truly did believe that he was a saved man, and if it were just between him and I would have probably not done it. But it was not between just he and I. It involved other members of the staff. It involved some of our customers. It involved two very large companies. I'm talking about large companies that when they got wind of it, they were liable to some things. They were not happy about it, and they gave me an ultimatum. They said, you take care of this your way, and if you don't do it by a certain date, we are going to take care of it our way. We are going to prosecute him. They had the evidence. It was a proven thing. They were going to throw this man in prison. It was going to be a felony. And so therefore, I began the process of pursuing this. You see, had they done that, this man would have lost his family. Had they done that, he would have lost his livelihood, and he was in a very lucrative new endeavor. He would have lost any chance of success in the future, because of the felony that would have landed on his record. Again, after much counsel, after much prayer, and after a situational study, I decided that this was something that I had to pursue, that I had to matter taken care of. Give me that purple. I had to pursue it. And so therefore, I went and I took this man to court with the full intention that my whole goal was going to be able to try to finish this and settle this out of court in mediation before it even made it into the court systems. Thank God, that's exactly what happened. It settled in Chattanooga, and we didn't even have to get into the court systems. But here's the thing. To this day, that man is shocked that I sued him. He has disdain for me. But to my best of my knowledge, Brother Daniel, I don't think that he even realized the fact that I was doing it for his benefit. That was one of the primary reasons. I was doing it for his benefit to save him the trouble that he was about to really get himself into. Bottom line, it had to be done. It had to be done. Now, all that to say simply this. Listen to me. Sometimes sin has far and deep reaches that goes beyond just what can be seen right there on the surface. Sometimes you've got to study deep into some matter. It's not always a cookie cutter situation of this is a saved man, that is a saved man. Sometimes it goes deeper and you've got to study it. And here's what you always need to know. You've got to study the situation. You've got to align yourself to the very best of your ability with the Word of God. And you've got to listen to your spiritual conscience. When the Spirit of God gives you the green light or the red light, you better listen to that. You see, God is not saying that just because they're saved or they say they're saved, that it means they're saved, and we're going to see why in just a moment. But He is simply letting us know that you have got to study it out to find. There is the perils of litigation, but don't let somebody throw that scripture up in your face and say, no, 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 you say that you're a saved person, I'm a saved person, you cannot sue me as a result. They're just trying to get out of that. The perils of litigation. But then there is the practice of evaluation. Are you following me? Say amen. Amen. And that's going to bring us now to the process of adjudication. The process of adjudication. Now, many of you know what the word adjudication means. It simply means to settle judiciously, to make an official decision on a dispute. Okay, just because you've got two believers, a saved man and a saved man, a saved woman and a saved woman, and there's no doubt that you're both saved, and it is just between the two of you all, just because that's the case, and God said you could not go to court, listen to me, it does not mean that you just drop it. It does not mean that you just simply let it go. That's not at all what God is saying. So with all of this said, when a true believer is done wrong, on whichever side that it may be, when they are headed toward forms of litigation, what are we supposed to do? Again, are we just supposed to drop it? Are we supposed to let them just run over us? I mean, slander us? Cheat us into buying something, maybe a lemon or something like that, of a car, and just take advantage of them, and us just to set aside and say, okay, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm not going to do anything about it. Listen to me. No, 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 no. I want the church of God to learn this today. It is very important because the church, and we'll learn this further tonight, the church has authority endowed by Almighty God. And every person affiliated with the church needs to know this. God put a plan into place for a saved person and a saved person to settle their disputes without going into the court systems of our society. And so the first step of this plan, he tells us that there must be a sanctified arbitrator. There's got to be a sanctified arbitrator. In other words, there's got to be somebody in the middle of this mess that walks with God. Somebody who is not going to lean on this side or going to lean on this side. They are not going to have a favorite in a dispute. They are going to say, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to help you solve this dispute. A sanctified arbitrator. Now, I don't have time to get all into verse number 4, but when you read verse number 4, I don't want you to get the idea that it is saying that you are to take your disputes to the least esteemed person in the church. You got to watch the wording of that, and you've got to study that out. That's not at all what it is talking about. What he is actually saying is, you are not to take it to the courts. They are the least esteemed when compared to the church. In other words, the church is higher than the courts. Now, everybody that may be listening to me today here, or anybody that may be live and online that may work in the justice system of our local or federal or whatever government, they're going to disagree with that, but they can. The Word of God tells us otherwise right here. Christians are to settle their disputes with other Christians within the church and not the court systems. Christians do not go to law with Christians. I told you, you got to study it out, though. But when you've got it all lined out and it is just between the two of you, you don't go to court with another Christian. This is another reason, by the way, that you need to be a member and a faithful member of a doctrinally sound, Bible-based, listen, Bible-balanced church, because the church will be the place that will help you settle the disputes that you have, okay? Look in the Bible, verse number 5, and we'll see it together, okay? Paul says, I speak to your shame. Ooh, underscore that word shame that is given to us. He says, shame on you. Shame on you. I speak to your shame. He is letting them know. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. Paul is saying, I find this hard to believe. You don't have somebody in the church that has enough God about them to help you settle these disputes that you are fighting with. As Paul is here instructing the church at Corinth, and frankly, I'll even say as he is chastising the Corinthian believers, that's really what he is doing. I mean, he's chewing them up one side and right down the other side. He is chastising the believers at the church at Corinth because what was happening was they were going and they were suing one another. The members of the church were suing other members, and they were getting into the court system of the Roman Empire and the Greek world. And Paul says, absolutely not. You are not to do that. But as Paul was chastising them, do you see what's happening here? They were pushing back against him, and they were saying the reason that we are taking it to the court system and out of the church is because we don't have anybody in the church that we have enough confidence in to be able to settle the disputes that we are facing. So therefore, we're just going to do it our own way. We are going to bypass the church, and we're going to take it into the court system. Paul says, I find that hard to believe. Shame on you. But if that is the case, he says, I'm ashamed of you, and I am ashamed for you. You see, when a dispute between believers, between two children of God, when it arises that could lead to litigation, God's order in settling this dispute that is out there, it is involved in going to the doctrinally sound, the Bible-based, and the Bible-balanced church. And you seek out the most godly man or woman that there is. You seek the one out that literally walks with God. They are respected in every area of the community and in the church. They are sanctified. Those are the people that you are to seek out to arbitrate your case with another believer. Now, let me be very clear right here. And will you let me be clear and not be a smart aleck? Oh, I hope so. He does not say go out and find the church gossip. He does not say, go out and find that unfaithful person. They're just faithful to church and to the things of God when it is convenient to them. Somebody who doesn't seek spiritual things, he says, don't go out and find that person. Don't go find the carnal person, he is saying. Lives more with one foot in the world than they do in the things of God. And most certainly don't go out and find the young Christian that doesn't understand all the garbage that you're about to bring them into and you're going to do nothing but devastate them. Don't go find a bunch of people that you think is going to get on your side and settle the dispute the way that you want it. That's what most of us will do. More on that in the next week or two as well in another tough topic. No, he says you go and get the one that is holding the hand of God.
the one that walks with God, the one that is respected, and the one that you know, barring none, they will do what is right. And he is saying right here, he is saying, you look for the godly people. All right, let's circle back around now to a question that many of us are wondering. And we kind of alluded to it just a few moments ago, but someone who says that they are saved, but yet they do you wrong. How do you prove the fact that they really are a Christian? If they say they're saved, but they bear no fruit in action, they bear no fruit in their integrity, do we still pursue litigation? I'm telling you, if you've never been here, and how many of you heard this before, that people will throw this verse up at them all the time, this passage up at them all the time when it comes to legal matters, and they'll say, no, you stay away from it. A saved person can't be involved in that. I've dealt with it many, many times. And people will say, I'm a saved person. You can't do that. So do you just let them get away with it? Do you just let matters know? I think the answer to that very question is found right here. And you need to get this in your heart. Because if you have two people that are professing salvation, and if you go to them, and if you say, we're going to settle this matter, we're not going to court, but we're going to go to the church, and we're going to go find the most godly, the most respected, the most sanctified member of the church, and we're going to bring them into it to mediate this matter, to settle it in a way that brings glory to God and restores the brothers in Christian love. If they refuse to do that, and if they refuse to agree to the verdict that was going to come out, listen to me, you've done what you can do. And they are very, very well possibly saying that they're not even saved in the first place. Are you following me? That's how you settle that question. You don't just run to the court systems. You go to him and you say, we're going to agree and we're going to go find that one that walks with God, that one that is respected in spiritual things. We're going to take it to the church that you and I belong to. That's where we're going to take it. And if they won't do that, and if they won't agree to the verdict on it and to settle by that verdict, there's a chance that they're not even saved. And that can change your approach on your litigation. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, but brothers goeth to law with brothers. And that before the unbeliever, he said, you take your matters out with the brothers and not with the courts. Don't do that. By the way, why would a believer even want to go stand before an unjust judge? A judge that knows nothing of the grace of God. A judge that does not have the ability to speak, being led by the Spirit of God. Why would you even want to do that? Why get into the court systems under circumstances like that? I think there's two sides of this. We cannot expect a just person to receive a just verdict in an unjust system. Can I say that again? You cannot expect a just person to receive a just verdict in an unjust system. Now, they may be settling the case, and the fact of the matter is, it may be settled on paper, and the court may even enforce that case. And you will have to abide by it. But the bottom line, you and I both know that the people that are involved in it, that are within the church, it will not be settled in between them, because it was not settled God's way. Bitterness will begin to swell up within their heart. They will have a hatred for the other. It'll divide the church. It'll hurt the church in every way. And it's going to devastate everybody else that gets hung in the middle of that mess. So you cannot do that. But a second side of this thing is believers should not take other believers to court, to law, because it puts a black mark on the church. Amen. It puts a black mark on Christianity. a black mark on the people of God. And it tells this unjust world that we have out there that there is not somebody that is wise enough. There is not somebody that is gifted enough within the church of God to be able to settle the matters that are before the very saints of God. And so here we have an unjust court, an unjust world that is looking at two Christians bickering over property lines or bickering over a bad buy or sale or whatever that it might be. You see two saints of God, knowing they're a member of a Bible-believing church, maybe a Linwood or some other church, two people that are fighting, and you've got a world out there saying, you bunch of hypocrites. You bunch of hypocrites. Y'all talk all the time about your good actions, your just deeds, how that you're about your Bible standards and your convictions, but in reality, you are no better than any of us. You are involving the courts in your own disputes. Now, listen to me, church. God expects His people to settle their disputes with a sanctified arbitrator within the church of God, a sanctified arbitrator. But listen, how we handle that, it matters because it will determine the degree of the senior administrator that we will be in the coming kingdom of God. Now, how many of you are saved this Sunday morning? Say amen. Amen. I mean, you know you're saved. Isn't that a blessing? Now, what I'm about to tell you should matter to you. And I want us to learn this because it should change our approach. It'll make us better for the Lord in this life lived for God. Look at verse number 2. We're going backwards here. He says, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Isn't that an interesting statement? He's saying, don't you know that the saints are one day going to judge the world? Wow! What a statement that is. But why is he making such a statement? And how does it fit into this matter of saints of God, believers, saved people, going and using the court system? Well, you've got to understand that in the previous passages of Scripture, in the previous chapters, Paul has already told the saints of God and he has instructed them about the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you see, I don't know about you, but whenever I hear the judgment seat of Christ, there's a chill that runs up and down my spine. And it's not the fact that it's cold in this building right now. Some of you say amen and some of you say it's hot. Can't keep everybody happy. Don't sue nobody over it. But whenever I talk about the judgment seat of Christ, there is something, just a chill that runs up and down my spine. Because there is a fear, there is a terror that I have that I am one day going to stand before this righteous, holy God and give an account for everything that I have done in this life. See, Paul had just dealt with that issue with the believers in the church at Corinth, telling them about the judgment seat of Christ. And in that, he is telling them that where their position is going to be determined in the millennial kingdom, it's going to have everything to do with how they handle and serve God in this life. Basically, however you serve God in this life is going to determine how elevated you are by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King of all the world, in the millennial reign. He's just addressed that. Now, Jesus addressed it as well in Matthew chapter 19, verse number 28, where he told his disciples that the prominent positions that they will have in the millennial kingdom will be determined by the same. How they serve God. Now, listen, this is a very broad and this is a very deep subject. But let me just try to give you a little bit of an overview of it. As you live your life today, the positions of leadership as a saved person, you got to be a saved person, that you're going to have in the kingdom of God in a King Jesus administration when he sits on the throne of David in the millennial reign is going to depend on how faithful you are to the Lord today. I pound this issue because God pounds this issue. It is my job to get a church ready to meet God. And how you serve God today, how you honor God, how you witness of His goodness and His grace, it will depend on how far up the ladder you're going to climb in the millennial kingdom of God. How hard you're willing to fight. You see, that's a glorious thought, it really is, to think about Jesus is coming, folks, and this thing is almost over, and we're going to be in His presence. So He's talking about judging the world because one day you're going to be in a position of rule, a position of leadership, a position of judgment over all this world. But I tell you, the next phrase in verse number 3 is what really blows my mind. Look at it, because he takes it a step further in verse number 3. Don't you know also that we shall judge the angels? What? We're going to judge the angels? How exactly are we going to judge the angels? All right, just before the millennial reign begins, remember, Jesus is going to come at the second coming. The rapture will have happened 7 years later. The tribulation, during the tribulation period, a 7-year period, we are standing before the judgment seat of Christ in heaven being judged for our works on this earth. The reason that has to happen before Christ returns to set up His kingdom is to see where we're going to be in the kingdom. And so Jesus comes back. Here we are on white horses. Do you know the story? He eliminates all the enemies of God at the Battle of Armageddon there at Megiddo. He destroys all of the armies that have come to do war against Him. Now follow me, because we learn in Daniel chapter 10, and I encourage you to go read it. We learn in Daniel chapter 10 that Satan, he sets his fallen angels. Do you know what those fallen angels are? They are demons. And so Satan sets his fallen angels, his demons, listen, in leadership roles, in various nations, in various aspects of the world governments today. And do you know what they are doing? They are wreaking havoc. And they are holding nations hostage to the agenda of hell itself. These demons, they are alive today, and they are operating today, and they have enormous power. And you look at the news right now, and you can see that they are wreaking havoc in all of the world. Do you know what this explains? It explains why that when you and I look at the world, and when we look at the nations of the world in the years that we've been old enough to study it and to follow it, when we look at all those things, it explains why that we look at it, even in our nation today in leadership, and say, these people have flat lost their minds. They are demon-possessed. That's what we hear people say. And the reason that you get that impression as a child of God, understanding the Scripture, listen, it is because they are demon possessed. They are driven by the devil. Are you listening to me? All across the world, everything that is going on in all these hot spots of the world, it is not chance. What's happening with Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, all this other crowd, and in other nations of the world that literally cannot accept what happened on October the 7th was wrong. And now they wobble on it. It is because their minds are controlled by the devil. These are the angels, the demons that Paul is talking about. This is why you cannot negotiate with them. You are not going to change them. They are the instruments of Satan himself. But here's the thing, and what a glorious blessing. The church age saints, that's you and that's I. If you're saved today, Brother Joel, we are one day going to judge the very angels that are wreaking havoc in this world today, that are the forces of hell, that are in forms of leadership and power in this world today. You and I, as believers one day, are going to judge these very demonic powers of Satan himself. No, I really hope that you're getting this. Because all of these politicians who push and even vote for this ungodly legislation, you are one day going to judge. All of these world leaders that have bullied us all around, you are one day going to judge. All of this hellish media that is out there that has deceived us, you are one day going to judge. all of these Hollywood directors and these actors that have corrupted your mind and the minds of your children, and those that are running these social media companies that are having all this stuff that is corrupting your kids, and all of the pornography website, one day you are going to judge. Think about this. One day the hindrance that you had and the wrestling that you had every time that you went into your prayer closet, you know what I'm talking about? Every time you go to God, there's a battle that is raging for you. One day that demon that is hindering you, you are going to judge. That powerful force, that fun, that fuels your craving for sin, you are going to judge. That demon that tormented your mind with all of that doubt that you have struggled with, you are going to one day judge. That demon that held you to addiction for all of those years until you were set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, one day you are going to judge. That dark force that kept attacking your family, destroying your home, one day you are going to judge. Do you know what's going to happen on that day? All of the dark mysteries of life, all of those things that you and I don't understand about our doubt, about the struggles that we're having, the battle with our prayer life, the battle with our Bible reading, the battles with all of these hellish things that have invaded, it's all going to be made so much clear, and we're going to see then on that day how much the devil and Satan and all of his demons, hell itself, had to do. And you are going to judge them. Those of you that are here today and you are struggling with the demons of hell that it just seems to be invading your home and invading your life, those of you that are struggling with that today, I want you to lift your head high. You ought to bless the good name of God, because it won't always be this way. If you're saved by God's grace, the day is coming when that demon, Satan himself, even you are going to judge. Don't you know that one day you're going to judge the angels? Not just the world, but the angels, when court comes calling. So let's pull it back around, and we're almost finished, and everybody says amen there. Look at verse number 2 as we make it all come together. The Bible says that the world shall be judged by you, the saint of God. Paul is saying, hey, believers, if the world's going to be judged by you, look at it. Are ye unworthy to judge the smaller matters? Verse number 3, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Are you seeing what's unfolding right here? The bottom line of what Paul is actually trying to declare to our hearts is he is letting us know, listen to me, that if we are qualified enough, and if we hold enough wisdom endowed by God to judge the world one day and to judge even angels, the demons of hell, there is no excuse why the saints of God today cannot settle any and all disputes that are going on in your life without having to go into a court system and damage the reputation and the viability of the church of God. He says you can do it. I've given you the ability to do it. This whole tough topic, you know, when court comes calling, whether it be litigation, evaluation, or adjudication, do you know that it really all boils down to one thing? Are you ready? This is profound. This is going to blow your mind. This is what it boils down to. Spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. Understanding that a lot of these things that we fuss and fight about, they don't matter. they are hurting the cause of Christ. Now listen to me, church. I'm going to say something that some of us are going to have a hard time swallowing right now, but because we're living in this ungodly world, and we'll expand on this in a couple of more weeks, but because we're living in this ungodly world, listen, believers are going to hurt other believers. You're going to get done wrong. Somebody's going to say or do something you just simply do not like. You're going to be done wrong. And when that happens, to protect your testimony and again the viability of the church of God, listen to me, sometimes we've just got to let some things go. Sometimes you just got to let some things go. Sometimes you just simply got to count it loss. It might cost you a little bit of money. Is it worth your testimony and the viability of the church? Sometimes it even might bruise our precious little egos because we didn't win. But is it worth your testimony and the viability of the church? And some will even say, but preacher, if I do that, I'm just letting them win and get away with it. That's what we think, isn't it? Yes and no. In reality, ladies and gentlemen, all you're doing is turning it over to a higher court. Amen. You're turning it over to the court of God. And do you know what I've learned through the years? Is in the court of God, in His time and in His way, every case comes to trial. Judgment will be cast and it will be just. God will do what's right. I've learned that all of these things, they always come back around. And if you dare do somebody wrong, another Christian, you rest assured, you're going to feel it in this life. Somebody else is going to do you wrong. And God will bring it to your mind that it was because of what I did to them. God will bring all things, all cases to His courtroom. Every one of them. And I've learned that God will even do it in this life and allow us to see a vindication of how we'd been done wrong. Brother Timothy, you can come on to the piano if you would.